In honor of Mother's Day, I want to preach two sermons this morning that revolve around the home. Not this morning, today. be glad that I'm not preaching both of them this morning. But this morning I want to speak on the subject, train up a child, and tonight I'll speak on the subject, Christian homes. We read our text verse, which is the outline of my sermon this morning, Proverbs 22, verse 6, where the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, I know when I announce that title that some of you may say, well, I'll just tune out this morning. My children are gone. They're grown up. They have moved out. And my training days are over. I would just ask you to look who that verse is addressed to. It does not say, parents, train up a child in the way he should go. It just says, train up a child in the way he should go. And so I would submit to you that that verse, like all the other verses in the Bible, are directed at every single person. Because you may be a grandparent and still have the opportunity and the responsibility to train a child. You may be an aunt or an uncle, no children of your own, but have an opportunity and the responsibility to train up a child. You may be just a friend of somebody that has a child, and I would submit to you this morning, regardless of your station in life, regardless of whether you have any children at home or not, that you need to pay attention to this verse, because every single person, and you may not realize it, you probably need to stop and think about it, but every single person has opportunities and therefore the responsibility to help train up a child in the way that he should go. And so this morning I'm going to talk about training children in a biblical fashion. I will tell you, I have 3 points. Now, I'll be honest with you, one of my points has 5 sub-points. But I don't want to discourage you and tell you I got 8 points. And so I just want to tell you I have 3 points. Point number one is that we need to train them by treating children the way that God made them. Now, this is the point I have several sub-points for. So sub-point number A is God made every child to obey. God made every child to obey. We see that in the first two words of this verse where the Bible says, train up. In the Hebrew, you go back and look at the Hebrew for those words, train up, it paints the picture of putting a bridle in a horse's mouth and training that horse or breaking that horse. And so it means to take a wild animal, and I have a 2-year-old grandson, so I know what I'm talking about. But it means to take a wild animal and to train them, to break them. God intends for parents to teach their children to obey, to submit to authority. When I was growing up, I had no doubt who my authority was. I mean, there were times in my life when I was growing up when I questioned authority, and my dad made it very clear to me who the authority in my life was as I was living in his home. I've told you before, he somehow came into the possession of a razor strap, a piece of leather about this wide, about this long, that used to hang beside barber chairs where they would sharpen their razor. He used that as the spanking tool. It was double. I mean, it had a piece of leather, and then it had something else, another strap on it. And so when he hit you with it, you got it twice with one blow. Because the second strap got you just as hard as the first one. Some people today might call it child abuse. I called it training. Because when I left home, I had no doubt in my mind that I needed to submit to authority. I mean, when I went to school, I knew the teacher was an authority that I needed to submit myself to. When I started to, and I got to say this quote and unquote because sometimes I forget this, but when I started to drive, I realized that the authority was the law and the police. Now, some of you know that on occasions I might have a lead foot and I forget who that authority is, but I know who the authority is when I am on the road. I knew when I went to church, my authority was my Sunday school teacher. And I want to tell you, if I got in trouble in Sunday school, we had Sunday school teachers that had my dad's permission to punish. And I got it at church, and then I got it at home because my dad wanted to make sure that I knew that my Sunday school teacher was my authority. The Bible says in James chapter 3, verse 3, "Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body." We need, God intends, and we as parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, whatever your station in life, we have the responsibility from God to teach our children to obey, to submit to authority. Because God made every child to obey. Point number B, God made every child to be trained while they are dependent. But that verse says, train up a child. What's a child? Well, the same word that's used in Proverbs 22:6 is used in 1 Samuel 4:21, talking about a little boy named Ichabod when he was a newborn baby. He was called a child. Same word is used in Genesis chapter 21, verse 14, talking about Ishmael when he was 15 years old. Same word child is used in Genesis chapter 37, verse 30, talking about Joseph at age 17. Same word child is used in Genesis 34, verse 5, when it's talking about Jacob's daughter that was at maritable age. In other words, old enough to get married. And so I take from the use of that word in the scripture that a child is anybody from the time that they are newborn until they get old enough to get married and move out on their own. Now, I knew a dad told his son when he was 16 years old, "I don't want you to rush getting married. I want you to wait until you're old enough to get married." Years passed, and that son turned 29 years old, and dad came back to him and said, "Hey, you remember that day I told you I wanted you to wait till you're old enough to get married? I just want to let you know, you've reached the age. You're old enough to get married." There comes a time when dad and mom are ready for the children to get out of the house. They're ready for the children to leave. I heard my dad say, "If I knew that grandkids were so much fun, I would have had them before I had my kids." He enjoyed his grandkids. I heard a preacher say one time, "My grandkids make," and Brother Wayne, don't get mad at me when I say this because I know you don't agree with this, but I heard a preacher say, my grandkids make me happy twice. They make me happy when they come. They make me happy when they go. But there comes a time when mom and dad ready for the kids to move out of the house. But until that time, God is saying to us, "I made every child to obey, and the time to train them is from the time they are born until the time they get ready to get married and move out on their own." I know some of you have teenagers. You say, "Well, my teenagers are getting more independent. Shouldn't I step back a little bit?" No. Just because they're a teenager and think they know more than you do, it doesn't mean that you ought to back off from their training. Here's what my dad always told my brothers and I. He says, "As long as you have your feet underneath my table, you are responsible to submit yourself to your authority, me and your mother." And we did that. We did that. So, God made every child to obey. God made every child to be trained while they are dependent. Point number C, God made every child to be trained in His way. Train up a child in the way, God's way. There's some things that God wants us to teach our children. There's some things that every child needs to know. Every child needs to know that there is a right and there is a wrong. Every child needs to know that they do not get to define what's right and what's wrong. Authority does that. God does that in His Word. Every child needs to know that doing the right things brings rewards and doing the wrong things brings punishment. Every child needs to know that God loves us. Every child needs to know that when God made us, He made us with a purpose. And one of those purposes is for us to fellowship and have a relationship with Him. Every child needs to know that when we do bad things, when we sin, when we break the law, when we rebel against authority, that that sin messes up our relationship with God. It disrupts our fellowship. Every child needs to know, and this is part of training them in the way, training them in God's way. Every child needs to know that God made a way for sin to be paid for. And that way is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way. No man cometh to the Father but by me." And every child needs to be taught, needs to know that if they ask Jesus to save them, He'll do it. He'll forgive their sins. He'll justify them, make them as if they've never sinned. He'll make them fit for heaven. He'll send the Holy Spirit. Every child needs to be taught in the way of God. Hey, Mom. Hey, Dad. Let me ask you this morning. How can you teach your children to do that if you haven't done it yourself? How can you bring your child to Christ if you haven't come yourself? How can you train up your child in His way if you don't know the way yourself? Every child deserves a dad. Every child deserves a mom that knows Jesus Christ as their Savior, that lives and bases their home on this book. Every child deserves that in their dad and in their mom. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I can't think of a better day for a mom to get saved than Mother's Day. I can't think of a better day for a dad to get saved than Mother's Day. I can't think of a better day for anybody to get saved than today. The Bible says today's the day. Now's the day of salvation. And if you're here, you don't have any hope of training a child in the way that God wants them to be trained until you come to know the Savior. I'm sorry you can't do it. Say, "Preacher, I think I can be a pretty good parent without knowing Jesus as my Savior." Why would you want to try to do it alone? Why would you want to try to do it in your own strength? Why would you want to try it without help from the one who made children, who made fathers, who made mothers, who designed the home and has a plan for how that home should work? So God made every child to obey. God made every child to be trained while they are dependent. God made every child to be trained in His way. Point D, God made every child to be trained individually. Train up a child in the way he should go. No two children are alike. No two children are alike. Their training should reflect their differences. You know that I have two children. I have a son and I have a daughter. You know my son very well, most of you. You don't know my daughter very well, but they are not alike. My son is very independent. My daughter is very dependent. My son, even though he was shy when he first came, when he was a kid, he liked to be around people. My daughter prefers to be alone. My son is very mechanical. I mean, he could take things apart and almost put them back together when he was a kid. My daughter has no mechanical ability. My daughter is very analytical. Not so my son. My daughter is very disciplined. I had to work with my son a lot in that area. And I won't mention any names to protect the innocent. But anyhow, God made every child different. And it's imperative that we train them as individuals. So that's point number one. We need to train our children by treating them the way that God made them. He made them to obey. He made them to be trained when they were still at home, dependent. He made them to be trained in His way. He made them to be trained as individuals. Now, point number two. And I only have three, so you only got two more to go. Don't worry. We'll make it. Number two, we need to train our children by trusting and claiming God's promise. What's the promise? "And when he is old, he will not depart from it." Now, when is that? When is a person old? When can we claim that promise? How old does a person have to get before we can go to God and say, "Hey, I did my part. I trained my child in your way. When can I get to see the result? When can I get to see them not departing from that way? Well, I don't know exactly how to tell you when a person's old. I can refer you to what the Bible says. The Bible uses different ways to define when a person gets old. The passage here in Proverbs uses the Hebrew idiom that when he is old enough to grow hair on his face is when a person gets old. But I like the one in Ecclesiastes better. You sort of in the book of Ecclesiastes, you sort of back in to when a person is old. There's a verse in Ecclesiastes that says, "Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth." And the Hebrew idiom there is, "Remember now thy creator in the days of thy black hair." So you're young when your hair is black or its natural color. You're old when it's no longer that natural color. When it turns gray or when it turns white or when it turns loose, you are old. And so God's promise is that if we train up a child in the way he should go, then when he is old, when he grows hair on his face, when his hair turns gray, he will not depart from it. He will live his life based on what he was taught as a child. You see, the goal of training our children is that when they get out on their own, they fly right. They fly right. It's like a little baby bird that his mother has cared for, that little bird, fed them, protected them. Now the time has come for the little bird to leave the nest. So they perch on the side or the edge of the nest, and they look down to the ground, and they look out to the sky, and they think, "I think I'm going to try it." Well, the goal of training is that when they leap from the edge of that nest and they start flapping their wings, that instead of taking a nosedive and going to the ground, that their wings will catch the wind and they will soar in the heavens. That's the goal of every mom, the goal of every dad. That when our children get ready to leave the nest, that they will know how to fly. And God says, if you train up a child in the way that he should go, when he's old, he'll not depart from it. My third point is this. We train our children by not only treating them the way that God made them, we train our children not only by trusting his promise, but we train our children by teaching them God's principle of sowing and reaping. The Bible says, "Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." If I plant corn or sow corn, I reap corn. If I plant okra, I reap okra. If I plant apples, I reap apples. If I, as a parent, plant sin, I reap sin. The Bible teaches that the sins of a dad and a mother are visited on the third and fourth generation. So it's important for us as parents to live godly, wholesome, biblical lives, not just for the sake of our children, but for the sake of our third generation, our grandchildren, and the fourth generation, our great grandchildren. The law of sowing and reaping applies to me as a parent. The laws of sowing and reaping also apply to a child. A sinning child will reap sinning children. You cannot mock God's law. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And I'm going to mention this tonight as part of my message, but let me tell you something about kids. They will not only follow your example, they will outdo you. They'll outdo you in either direction, good or bad. So it's Mother's Day. What do you leave this place with this morning? I hope you leave this place this morning saved. I hope you leave this place this morning knowing that you belong to Jesus Christ and that he's your Savior. And if you're not here, whether you're a mom or a dad or neither one of those things, you're a sinner. Your sin separates you from God. God made a way for that sin to be paid for. That way is Jesus Christ. If you'll trust him this morning and ask him to save you, to forgive your sins, he will forgive your sins. He will justify. He will make you in God's sight just as if you never sinned. And again, I can't think of a better day than Mother's Day for you to get saved. And so I pray this morning that there'll be nobody that walks out those doors when we get done without knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, if you're a Christian, if you're saved, if you know Jesus as your Savior, and that's the case of most of us this morning, then here's what I want you to walk out with. Regardless of your station in life, regardless of whether you have children at home or not, you still have opportunities and therefore the responsibility to train up a child in the way that he should go. When we do that, we need to do it the way God instructs us to do it in his word. And we need to do it claiming his promise that when they get ready to leave the nest, if we train them up in his way, they'll know how to fly and will soar. And so my invitation is twofold this morning. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, in just a second when we sing a song, I invite you to walk down the aisle. We'll take the word of God and we'll show you from the word of God some of the things that I've talked about this morning. We'll show you from the word of God how to ask Jesus to be your Savior. If you're here today and you're saved, praise the Lord for that. But the Holy Spirit had spoken to you about something in your training of children. Again, all your kids may be gone. You're not off the hook. God's not done with you. You still have a role to play in training children. If the Holy Spirit's spoken to you and you say, hey, I've neglected it. I've not done it in the way that I know God wants me to do it. You may want to come to the altar and say, Lord, forgive me and help me. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction that you give it, that you give us in it as to our responsibility to train children. And so I pray for every person here this morning. I pray for the parents. I pray for grandparents. I pray for aunts and uncles. I pray for friends. All of us come in contact with children. All of us set an example for children. All of us can say a word and help in their training. And so I pray, Father, that every single person would recognize the responsibility that we have and use every opportunity to do it in a way that would be pleasing to you. I pray for those that are here that don't know Christ. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will have spoken to their souls this morning. You would have shown them their need for a Savior. And you would show them that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by him. And so I pray, Father, that you bless this invitation. You would help men and women and teenagers that are here this morning to do what they need to do. I ask all this in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen.